Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 is one of the beautiful chapter, and I'm going to tell you it's so full. I was looking at this chapter, and literally almost every single verse or every other verse, maybe two verses together, a preacher could preach out of Ephesians chapter 4 for weeks and weeks and weeks. We're going to look at verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. And let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And we're going to see a stark contrast in these verses. You know what? As God directs the Apostle Paul, he's going to talk a little bit about people that are lost and reminding them that they were once lost also. Come on, let's not forget, folks. Right. I don't understand why that person acts that way. Well, how do you expect a lost person to act? They're going to act like a lost person. By the way, let's kind of remember what God brought us from, okay? And so think about this. And verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Well, Christ makes a difference in our lives. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, notice this, old man, let's put all those things off. That's how we were before we got saved. New man, let's put some things on. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God. We have a newborn spirit now. Let's put on the new man, verse 24. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in, listen, folks, righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, okay, if we're going to achieve righteousness and true holiness, we got to put some things away. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Important word there, remember that. That it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're preaching this morning on this subject. Don't be ugly. Don't be ugly. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this message to help us, Lord. We're going to have a little fun this morning with this subject, but Lord, at the same time, may all of us be reminded as Christians, dear God. The old man, Lord, we can crucify him. We need to crucify him every day. Paul said, I die daily. But too many times, that old man, that carnal nature, it wants to raise up, and Lord, we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. I think about Paul and him being transparent in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and so many times the thing that we want to be, we're not, and the things that we don't want to be, we are. But Lord, I pray that we would be reminded that we need to access the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. May they show brightly in our life. And I pray, dear God, that we'll be helped. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So I should tell you the story of how I won the ugly shirt. This goes way back to the first week of camp. And you have to understand that the Navajo camp, and they just produce a certain type of a spirit. And they are probably one of the most fun-loving people you'll ever have. And their sense of humor is a little jaded, which maybe is why I fit in so well out there. I don't know. But from the very first week, a year of camp, they decided that they would have the young people, so their way of raising money to be able to cover the expenses of camp. And Brother Jeff, Can we get these fans going? All right, sorry, folks. We worked hard. We got it down as cold as we could without freezing our elderly folks in Sunday school. And so I knew that a day like today, we're probably going to, don't be afraid to fan. It's all right. Maybe we ought to get some of them old-fashioned fans. Kind of miss them things, you know. Funeral advertisements on the back, picture of a long-haired Jesus on the front, you know. And maybe we better not get them. Maybe I'd have my wife design a better one, all right? But anyway, so they decided that in order to raise money for the camp, they would allow the kids every single morning to get in line, and for every quarter that they give, it's one vote for the ugliest camper of the week and the ugliest counselor of the week. You say, is that a successful way to raise money? Apparently. Apparently. And so I'd been aggravating a number, I know this is shocking, but I'd been aggravating a number of the counselors. One of them I found out was a Green Bay Packer fan, so it was on from the get-go, you know. I might have insulted a couple of them from the pulpit, you know, and maybe they're just too sensitive. I don't know. And other things that I may have done to not, you know, incur favor with some people. So there began to be this grassroots quiet effort to get the guest speaker. Are you guys happy, by the way? I hope they're watching online. The guest speaker to have to wear the ugly shirt on the weekend afterwards. Because whoever got the ugly shirt, then they had to wear it the last day of camp for the camp picture, and then they had to wear it on Sunday morning at their church. And so I saw this was happening, but I looked around, and there were so many people so much uglier than me. I thought, I really don't have to worry about this. And then Brother Joel, he really nominated Dietrich Hobb, and he was really kind of trying to get him to be the ugly counselor, but and he led almost the entire week. One of the strange things I noticed by about the third day is that Ryan Nez had never got one vote for the ugly shirt. And I thought to myself, I don't know of an uglier guy than Ryan Nez. And so I began to kind of think, okay, you know, if they're going to plot, then I'm going to have the subplot, and you know, there's a state, and then there's deep state, and then there's deep state. And so I was working quietly on the fringes and was determined on the very last day. I wanted Ryan Nez to be sitting there all week thinking he was golden, and then the last chance we had to give an offering, I was going to drop a bunch of money and get a bunch of other people to drop a bunch of money and make him wear the ugly shirt. And it came that close to working. I mean, there were 26 points different. Folks, one quarter buys a point. What is that, like $4.50 or something like that? So they bring the two of us up here, and they tell us that there's 26 points between us. And at that point, I'm screaming out, can I give more money? Let me give more money. It's amazing when Baptist people won't take more money, but they would not take any more money. And finally, you know what? It was announced that Pastor Jerry Ross won the ugly shirt contest. Yeah. Hey, you know, if I'm going to get in a contest, I'm going to win it. I don't want to brag about coming in second. Big deal about coming in second. Anybody can be the second ugliest guy in church. I mean, if I'm going ugly, I'm going to go ugly big, okay? So, and then there was this big giant kid. I forget his name. Jake. I think they called him JK. And not you, JK, but there was a kid at my camp, a Navajo young man named JK, big old ugly kid, you know. His church decided he was going to get it. And then there was this little petite, cute little Navajo girl that somebody had decided she was going to get it, all her friends. And so on this side, it's me, you know, obviously very handsome. Nez, the ugliest person God had ever created. On this side, you got this ugly JK. Sorry, JK. Ugly JK. And then you've got this cute little Navajo girl. And the little girl ended up winning the camper ugly shirt of all things. That just wasn't right. And it was just as terrible and just as unfair that on this side, Pastor Jerry Ross somehow ended up winning the ugly shirt. And so I've been thinking about, what am I going to do? Nobody's going to listen to my message this morning. Nobody online is going to take. By the way, update the picture, okay? Let me make sure you get this shot right here, okay? We're going to update the picture. Sometimes y'all use pictures from before, okay? Let's get on that. Somebody back there is getting lazy. Come on, Luke, are you getting lazy on me? Just throwing up the same picture for five straight sermons. Come on now. I mean, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do as little as possible, you know? And anyway, am I being ugly? Well, guess what? I was voted to be ugly. So I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to preach a message? So don't be ugly. U-G-L-Y. And by the way, they brought us up in front of everybody at the end. The kids all stood up. I swear this is true. Brother Joel led them. U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You're ugly. You're ugly. They didn't stop there. M-A-M-A. We know how you got that way. Your mama. Your mama. 194 Navajo kids pointing at me, screaming how ugly I am. I'm never going back to that place. My poor mama, she's in heaven. Good night. U-G-L-Y, you. You know what, folks? Let's just learn some things. We got to be reminded sometimes not to be ugly. I can remember an evangelist getting up in church years ago into the tent and saying this. He said, Christian people can be some of the ugliest people in the world. You know, that's a shame. That's an indictment. You know, even if that's said about other Christians, you ought to just determine this morning, that's never going to be fairly said about me. You know, Grandma and Grandpa, I remember Grandma Ogle sometimes saying to one of us kids, stop being ugly. You know, it's an older generation that realized, watch this, beauty, well, we need to remind a whole generation, beauty's not just on the outside. Beauty is really determined by what's on the inside. And you know what? I've watched some of the most handsome guys, some of the most beautiful young ladies be so ugly, ugly. And you know what? What you do determines more of whether or not you have the right appearance than how you present yourself. So let's just hit some things, okay? Just good reminders this morning. Don't be ugly, you. What does you stand for? Don't be unkind. Don't be unkind. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Think about that. You know, folks, unkindness is ugly. Let's be reminded of that. Unkindness is ugly. Ephesians 4:29. We're going to stay and get all this right out of these scriptures right here. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. So a lot of the times, a lot of the instances in which we're really ugly is what we say. By the way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right. So you speak ugly words, you got an ugly heart. Right. Hey, you can buy all the Mary Kay you want to. You can slather it on. Come on. You can pretty your hair up. You can curl your hair, young lady. But if you got an ugly heart, it's going to produce ugly words. And I don't care what you think you're looking at in the mirror. Everybody else looks at you and thinks that's just ugly. My grandma, Olga, if she heard what some of you young ladies said this week, she'd look at you and say, stop being so ugly. Stop being so ugly. You know, the command here, think about this, is to edify. Think about that. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what that means? That means to build up. That's literally a construction phrase. It's talking about building a structure or constructing something, building something, not tearing it down. Building something, not tearing it down. It says that our words ought to minister grace unto the hearers. These are good reminders for us this morning. Think about that. There was a little boy that got picked up from school one day. And his mom asked him as soon as he got in the car, were you good in school today? He paused and thought and paused and thought, and paused and thought a little bit more, and finally said, well, Mom, I can't think of anything bad I did, so I must have been good. But you know what, folks? The Bible doesn't say not just to be unkind. It says to be ye kind. Somehow we got this idea that as long as I was not unkind to somebody today, I obeyed that. Well, let me ask you a question. If the Bible's correct here, and we're supposed to be using our communication that comes out of our mouth to good, to the use of edifying, to building people up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me just ask you a question this morning. Have you been kind this week? Have you been kind? See, being kind is not the absence of unkindness, but the positive acts of kindness. Of kindness. You know, years ago, I can't hardly get on this subject without using this illustration, but you know, years ago, I had now become principal of the school, and I was no longer out there on a daily basis. And you know what? I kept getting reports from the teachers, and it just seemed like there were more demerits and for this one thing than anything else. And I met with them, and they're like, "Preacher, I don't know what's going on in our school, but the young people are just being so unkind to each other. Unkind to each other. Hey, young people, let me remind you again. That's ugly. Stop saying ugly things to each other. Come on, sisters and brothers, stop being ugly to each other. Okay, if what's coming out of your mouth isn't good, it's not building someone up. Are you listening to me? It's not building someone up, and it's not ministering grace. Then you know what? It's ugly. It's ugly. And so I finally heard enough about this, went out, had chapel one day, and declared we were going to do, I can't remember, a 3-week or 6-week, I can't remember what I did, kindness revival. Kindness revival. I preached on kindness. You have a revival, you got to have preaching, amen. I preached on kindness. I told the kids at the end of every day, you're going to have to fill out a form. Say, "Preacher, why do you like this illustration?" "Because I'm thinking about doing it here." Ushers, you have those forms ready? Oh, no, they didn't. No, we haven't done it yet. But you know what? At the end of every day, if we were asked to, we ought to be able to fill out a form. From the time you got to school to the time you get ready to leave school, you need to write down 3 things that you did or said that lifted somebody up. Come on. Yes. Folks, this is the way Christians are supposed to live their lives. Okay? Some of you sitting there in judgment of everybody else, why don't you look in the mirror first? How much of your yap, yap, yap is just always tearing people down, always criticizing people, always running people down? Why don't you go over and say something that's going to lift somebody up? Folks, come on. This whole world beats everybody down. If there's one place we ought to be able to walk in the door and receive a little grace and administer a little bit of grace, maybe it ought to be in church. Maybe this ought to be the place where we build each other up and root for each other and find a reason to compliment each other. And come on, let's not be ugly in this matter of being unkind. So think about this. Well, we could say that about the Christian school, but wait a minute. What did you do this week to edify the body of Christ? If I had to fill out a form or send out a form and I ask everybody, I want you to write down 3 things that you either text to somebody, said to somebody, or did for somebody, acts of kindness that edified them, that relayed good to them, that ministered grace to them. Could you even write it down? Well, what if we just, come on, let's just have some fun. I won't pass out a form next week, I promise you. Well, why don't we just could we just do this for 7 days? Could we just decide, you know what, starting Monday, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to purposely plan ahead to look for opportunities to say or do something, to just minister grace to somebody, to help kind of build somebody up, make them feel a little bit better about themselves, encourage them, that some of them that are going through tough times. I mean, you know, Steve came in here, and he's concerned about his friend Dale, and you know, he's got a horrible situation he's having to try to get through, and you know what he's doing when he comes alongside his friend? He's ministering grace to him. He's encouraging him. Hey, folks, that's what Christians are supposed to do. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Hey, let's start at home. Hey, husbands, why don't we just go ahead and set the example this week? Well, let's be kind to our wife. Come on, wives, let's be kind to our husbands. Hey, children, be kind to mom and dad. Listen to me, be kind to mom and dad. What can you do? What can you say that would lift their load a little bit, lift the burden off them? Let's start at home. Let's bring it into Blessed Oak Baptist Church. This ought to be the kindest place in the county. This ought to be the kindest place in the Tri-County area. You know, enough of this. She said this and he said that. And did you hear what she said? And did you hear what he said? Well, what are we doing to each other? Let's be kind. Then let's bring it into the community. Start at home. Come on. Start at home. Bring it into your church. Bring it into your church, into your community. You, don't be ugly. You, how about G? Don't be a gossip.
Yes.
Don't be a gossip. Gossiping is ugly.
Yes.
Gossiping is ugly. You notice verse 29? You remember what it said there? Let no what? Corrupt communication. Corrupt communication. You know what gossip is? Gossip is corrupt communication. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How about verse 31? But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and what? Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Corrupt communication. Gossip is corrupt communication. Gossip is evil speaking. Look right up here. Gossip is corrupt communication. Gossip is evil speaking.
Amen.
It's using the words, your words. You know, every one of us are blessed with the ability to say words. And they have power. They touch people's lives. The Bible says that, you know, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can bring somebody towards life or you can help destroy them. Come on, I know what the world's doing.
Right.
I know what the world uses social media for. What are we doing?
Come on.
What are we doing? Don't be a gossip.
Amen.
You know, folks, talebearers in the Bible soundly condemns the sin of talebearing. Now think about this. I mean, there's no gray area here.
Yes.
It soundly condemns talebearing. You know, there's several Bible truths about the sin of gossip. God has nothing good to say about this sin. And you know what? We as born-again Christians should have no part in this sin. No part in this sin. Say, preacher, what's the Bible say? I'm going to give it to you fast. We don't have time to turn to the verses. Listen to me. Talebearing is condemned in the Old Testament law. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. You better listen to the Holy Spirit right now. Number two, a talebearer's goal is to find out secrets and spread them. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Talebearer likes to find out things that no one should know. No one should know, but then go around spreading it. They like to hear or overhear what should not be repeated, then repeat it. They gather half-truths, partial conversations, and secondhand information, then repeat it as gospel truth. They love to appear to be the authority and the know-it-all and the last word on everything that's going on in the church and the community. If I just described you, shame on you. Look right up here. That's an ugly sin. That's an ugly sin. A talebearer, number three, collects these secrets through flattery. I better warn some of you. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So this is what a talebearer does. They'll walk up to you and act like you're your best friend. They'll ask all the questions and see what's going on in your life. And you think that they're so concerned about you, but all they're doing is pumping you for information that they can run around and spread to everybody around you. See, the Bible puts a spotlight on this sin. And you know what, folks? What are we doing? Think about that. They love to appear to be your friend or that listening, compassionate ear so that they can gather the information. They convince you to confide in them. Come on, to share what you know and how you feel about things, then use this information to their own advantage with their own agenda.
Right.
Number four, talebearers then use these secrets to hurt people. And then this is why your preacher gets so angry about this sin. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are wounds. Think about that. Folks, look right up here. Why is this such an ugly sin? Because gossip hurts people.
Yes.
Gossip hurts people.
Good.
It wounds them physically, it wounds them mentally, it wounds them emotionally, and wounds them spiritually.
Yes.
Are you proud of yourself?
Come on.
I mean, is that your goal in life? That's what you live for? Are you serious? Come on, it's ugly. Gossip destroys unity. A talebearer enjoys creating strife between individuals. He or she enjoys causing division in a congregation. It pleases him or her to make someone mad at another person. Gossip destroys friendships. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. I think this is often done out of jealousy and envy. They see two people that are good friends, and what do I got to do to try to break up that friendship? Come on, to get one of them to talk bad about the other, and then run with that information. By the way, usually an exaggerated version of what they said. And to the other person, try to destroy them, and then get their reaction and run back and forth. What? Really? Are we born again here? Are we saved? Maybe I need to order several of these shirts. Maybe I need to award them to you in front of the entire church. What are we doing? What are we doing? I can tell you what Jerry Ross did this week with this tongue and this mouth. I built up people. I encouraged people. I listened to them not to share with anybody else what's going on in their life, but to bow my head with them and pray with them. And take that to the throne of grace and not spread it to anyone else. I don't understand this. I get it. Everyone's got besetting sins and there's things that I struggle with. Brother, I buried this thing a long time ago. And some of you need to bury it. One old evangelist said, you know what, some of you ladies, by the way, we talk about ladies gossip, but I've seen men gossip more than ladies gossip. But he said, some of you ladies, some of you men, you need to lay your tongue on the altar. He said, if there's not room enough, we'll open the door and flop out into the driveway out there. Come on now. Come on now. Now, you know, I need to blow the trumpet on this. Why does a talebearer do this? One of the greatest mysteries of life is the why behind someone's just determination to walk around being this type of a person and claim that they're saved. Brother Leo, I'll be honest with you. I just scratch my head. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know what that feeds in you. I don't know how that makes you feel better somehow. But, you know, you've got something really broken. If you are saved, there's something broken that God can fix so that you don't need to always run somebody else down to feel good about yourself. If I do that, I'm convicted by it. I feel horrible about it. I can't go to sleep. I want to get it right. I don't understand people that just, I mean, by the way, come on, social media has become the gossip's favorite gift from heaven. Because they used to have to go around to everybody and try to pump information. Now they just cyber stalk everybody. By the way, Christians, be careful what you're putting on social media. You know what? I don't understand people think, you know, put a lot of personal information. I mean, whatever happened, I'm a pretty private person. I don't want my whole life on display, everything I did. By the way, look right up here. I don't care what you had for lunch. I don't care that you're at Walmart. I'm not going to answer which skirt you think looks better or which tie matches whatever. Are you that pathetic? That you got to the point where you got to have people's likes to know how to dress in the morning? It's good for us. Amen. Preacher, you're being ugly. I was voted ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm being your friend. So why did they do this? I honestly don't know. I've asked myself, you know, what causes some people to spend their lives just gossiping and tell-bearing? Especially those who've sat under the preaching of God's word and know what the Bible says about this sin. I mean, can I remind you what Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 28 says? Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And every time you have a talebearer gossip, you're going to have problems and strife and conflict in a church. Let me say this as politely as I can. Shut up. Shut up. This entire ministry should be designed to help build strong Christians. Doesn't mean that there aren't times that we have to personally deal with things. There's not times that I don't go personally to someone and challenge them, but I don't go around talking about them. Okay? You got a problem with somebody? Sit down with them. Yes. Handle it biblically. Okay? So let's not be that way. Why does someone, by the way, do you think this is a big problem? I don't think it's a big problem. Bless you. I do think it's a problem. Look right up here. I've lost church members over this. I'm sick of losing church members because some of you can't keep your mouth shut. Because you just got to have the new person every week that you peck at. There's nothing wrong with them. There's something wrong with you. If this is how you got to live your life. Amen. Yes. Why does somebody become a tell-bearer? I don't know. The Bible warns in verse 21 of Proverbs 26, verse 21, that some people have a contentious spirit. They just love to create drama because they're trying to distract from their own secret wickedness, verse 23 through 26 of Proverbs, chapter 26. They can keep people talking about others. Maybe we'll know and we'll notice what their sin is, what's wrong with them. Because they refuse to purge their lives of the seven abominations in verse 25. I don't have time to go through all these. Because of the secret hatred held against others. Most tellbearers are just miserable people whose heart is filled with envy against happy and successful people. So they spend their lives trying to tear down others with their tongue. What a sad way to spend your life. How is gossip stopped? You know what? The Bible says where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Where there is no tellbearer, the strife ceaseth. Think about that, folks. Maybe we ought to go back to this portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And you know what? Maybe when someone comes to us with gossip, would you just use biblical phrase, I don't want to hear corrupt communication. I don't want to hear corrupt communication. I don't want to hear evil speaking. Just say it out loud to them. Well, they won't be my friend. They're not your friend now. Okay, figure out what a real friend is. I don't want to hear your evil speaking. Come on, dads, why don't you take charge of this in your home? Moms, why don't you stop letting these little girls come to you and blab about everything that they don't like about somebody else and then join in with it? Why don't we just declare war on this thing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Gossiping is ugly. It's ugly. Well, that brings us to L. Don't be a liar. Lying is ugly. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The more you lie, the more you're like the devil. The more you stand for truth and speak truth, the more you are like God. You know, the Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. That's what it says. In hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hebrews 6, 18. That by two immutable truths in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Possible for God to lie. You know, Jesus and the truth are synonymous through the scripture. John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By the way, truth always brings life. Lying always creates death and destruction. No man cometh to me unto the Father, but by me. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Watch this. Every time you speak truth, you align yourself with God. Every time you speak a lie, you align yourself with the devil. Because Jesus and the truth is synonymous. God cannot lie. The devil and lying are synonymous. John 8:44, ye are of the your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Peter said to Ananias, remember that story in Acts 5? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? If the devil is the father of all lies, and I'm not trying to be gross here, but you didn't think about the wording there. If you have, listen, you have to interact with the devil to father a lie.
Right.
I think the way, listen, parents, children begin to open doors. Come on, think about this, of demonic influence into their life is through the sin of lying.
Yes,
lying ought to be a big deal.
Yes.
The truth ought to be a big deal. Jesus literally says, I will take as one of my titles, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus stands for truth. Jesus speaks the truth. When we speak truth, you know what? Then we align ourselves with Christ. You young men, listen to me. Don't you get in the habit of lying. You young ladies, don't get in the habit of lying. When the Bible talks about when the Bible talks about the armor of God, it says this, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. I'm going to say this, I'm being careful. But folks, listen to me. If you young ladies begin to get to the point where you can lie to your parents, you know what? You'll lose your purity. You'll get involved in immorality. That is what protects your loins. You young men, same thing. Show me any kid that has ever crossed that line in a Christian home, and I'll show you a pattern where they started first lying to themselves, then they started lying to the authorities in their life, and finally the devil caught them in the sin of immorality. Speaking truth protects your purity. It protects your purity. So don't be a liar. Nobody likes to be lied about. Look right up here. Do you like being lied about? I don't like being lied about. I think I told this story recently, but it's worth telling a couple times a year. Several years ago, we made Christmas baskets to give to poor families. Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Bus captains were supposed to distribute them. They were down in the kitchen. They had their name, address of who they were going to. I stopped in here Christmas Eve, and guess what? Two baskets didn't get delivered. And so I looked at the tags. I called one of the guys in the church. Could you go with me? I don't want to go by myself. I don't know what these situations are. We showed up at one house, gave them the food basket, went well. We were in the church van. And then we drive over to Sullivan, and there's a row of trailers. And the very last one, I've got one food basket left to give out. And I go up to this trailer, and I'm kind of in a hurry. It's Christmas Eve. I just want to get this done and go home and spend time with my family, okay? And as I'm walking to this trailer, the trailer next to it, there's a guy outside sitting in a lawn chair. And he looks at me and looks at our van, looks at me and said, are you from Blessed Oak Baptist Church? Now, again, I'm not sure I was in the greatest spiritual place because I didn't really want to be doing this on Christmas Eve. And I looked back at the van and I wanted to say, yes, Captain Obvious, I'm from Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I wanted to say, no, I'm not from Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We stole the church van. We robbed a grocery store. And now we're just passing out. All these crazy, you know, the evil Jerry Ross, all these guys said, okay, no, put off the old man, put off the old man. And I said, yes, sir, we're from Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I take about two more steps. And he said, I know about your church. And I stop and I think, not now, Lord, please, not now. I love people that know more about my church. By the way, never been here before, but he knew about Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I said, pray tell. What do you know about Blessed Oak Baptist Church? And he said, I heard that you run these red and white church buses through all the neighborhoods and pick up these kids, and you take them to church, and you take them downstairs, and you put them in classrooms, and you tie them up, and you beat them. Almost his exact words. Best I can remember his exact words. I'm sitting there with a food basket that I'm delivering on Christmas Eve to poor people. So I turned around, looked at him, I said, sir, that's a lie. We do run these red and white buses. We do pick up all these kids in all these neighborhoods. And I said, we do bring them to church. And we take them downstairs. And we put them in the classrooms, but we never tie them up before we beat them because we believe in giving them a running chance. His eyes got about that bigger. Then I told him, that is the stupidest thing. I said, I've heard a lot of crazy criticism about our church over the year. But I said, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I told him that. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard a man say about a church of any kind. Have you ever been there? Well, no. Well, I guess you got two choices. You can sit there in your chair and cast judgment on this church, who, by the way, is delivering food baskets right now to your neighbor. Or, you know what, you can believe a bunch of small town gospel wherever you got this junk from. Or you could get your card, be a man, be fair, come to church, walk around, see how tenderly we care for the young people around here. Now, folks, listen to me. That drives me crazy. You ever been lied about? It's not fun.
When you are doing this and somebody's representing you in the exact opposite way, do you like it? Well, then don't do it. Well, I heard. You heard? So you're involved in gossip. You heard. Evil speaking, corrupt communication you listen to, and just assume whatever somebody told you must be true. You're no different than that guy sitting in front of that. Come on, you're no different than that guy sitting in front of that trailer, puking out a bunch of nonsense about a church he's never been to. Ah, this is good for us. Amen. Smile, everybody. If you're not smiling during this, I just assume this is your sin. Amen. So you better start smiling. Somebody better start saying amen, or I'm going to get a whole bunch of ugly shirts, and we're going to have ugly shirt Sunday at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Let me give you the last one. Why? Don't be you-centered. You-centered. Y-O-U. I had to do something with the Y, okay? Selfishness is ugly. It's just as ugly. It's just an ugly way to live. Ephesians 4, verse... If we're just still in that chapter, let's back up to a part we didn't read. Look, if you will, in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. But verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Why is your pastor preaching on this morning? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, folks, I can't spend all my life running around trying to build people up faster than some of you can tear them down. You got to stop. Good. Your pastor's up here doing this because I'm supposed to do this. Okay? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come, what's the goal here? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. So any sin that destroys unity, your pastor's going to declare war on it and preach on it on a regular basis. Because my job is to get us in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God so that we can learn how Jesus lived his life, how Jesus is, unto a perfect man, that's grown up, mature Christian, unto the stature, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. Look at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, who? Jesus, in all things which is the head, even Christ. I dare you to come. You study it all week long. Go through Matthew all the way to the end of John, and you study the life of Christ and show me next week where he did one selfish thing. Good. Show me one selfish thing Jesus ever did. Where he put himself before other people. Where he said, I'd rather do what I want to do than the Father, what the Father wants me to do. Show it to me! You know, folks, selfishness, it's ugly. It's ugly. Young lady, when you're so much worried about you and you're all focused on you and you think everything's about you and you know what? How you feel every day is dependent on how you feel, whether you feel like people, you know, gave you enough attention or said enough nice things about you or included you. Your whole life is stuck on you. If you live that way, you are going to be a miserable person. And by the way, you make people around you miserable whether you know it or not. I love this and I'm done. I heard my pastor for many years up in Hammond quote this poem on a regular basis. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let me be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. My efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. When my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We touched on some things that are so important. Pray that we'll examine our hearts. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's spend some time examining our hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. The world don't need to see ugly Christians. The world don't need to see our behavior. Lord, see that it's ugly to the world and to each other. May this start in our homes, and then may it grow out into our churches, and then may it spill over into the community so people will say, those people just don't say they're Christian. They are Christian. Bless our invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.